We need to raise a hallelujah. A hallelujah at this time. And we're just going to take some time just to look at God's word. And then we're going to share communion together. And I hope you're able to join with us. Because though we may be in our different homes and our different places, we come together to share communion, to be the body of Christ, to be church together. And I really hope you'll be able to join with us. But before we do that, I just want to share some words as we think about what it means to stand at the crossroads. 3 weeks ago now, I sort of introduced the new year with this challenge to stand at the crossroads and to look from Jeremiah 6 and to choose the ancient paths. And we looked at what that meant for us, that as we stood at this crossroads, both in our personal lives, our national life together and our church life, we needed to look at the ancient paths, which was the path of faith, the path of fellowship, and the path of following. And we began and we followed that to see in these last 2 weeks what that ancient path of following is. And we particularly thought about Matthew 6 and about the ancient path of prayer, which Rachel then helped us look at. And then last week, Sue, looking at money, also the ancient path of giving. And then Jesus then goes on to talk about in Matthew 6, the ancient path of fasting. And I was going to be looking at fasting and Sabbath today. But as I reflected, as I read this week, God spoke to me again about standing at the crossroads from a very different passage. And I really believe that there are three crossroads that some of you are standing at right now. And I just want to share that with you because I believe that God really wants you to make the right choice. He really wants you to take that ancient path. And almost there's a battle within you which way to go. And we need to choose. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at an unusual story from Genesis chapter 13. It'd be really helpful if you have it with you because I'm not going to read it out fully, but we're just going to go through it and perhaps see what God is saying to us through this passage. It's in the life of Abraham, after Abraham was called by God to inherit the promised land. We see in Genesis 13 an incident in the life of Abraham. And so we're going to be looking at this to say, what are, from this passage, there are three crossroads that I think perhaps one of them, or maybe all of them, we are standing at right now. And we need to make the right choice and find that ancient path. Genesis 13, we're going to read it through bit by bit and just unpack it as we go. But before I do that, let me pray. Lord Jesus, we are standing at the crossroads. You have brought us today to this service, whether live or whether at another time. And we are at a crossroads. And you have brought us here to help us realize we have a choice. And I just pray that as we gather, as we stand at this crossroads on the 17th of January 2021, you lead us in your path. In the path of life, because I pray it in the name of Jesus. So Genesis chapter 13, we begin with these words. So Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. The first thing we read here is that Abraham went up from Egypt. Now, what does that mean? We have to understand the context of the previous chapter. Because in the life of Abraham, as he knew the call of God, as he was called and given the promised land and the call of God upon his life, we read as soon as he heard that, there was a famine in the land. There was a famine. And therefore, when there was a famine, he felt he couldn't stay just wandering around. And so he went to Egypt. And then when he went to Egypt, not only was there a famine that he had to face, he also had to, he had a test of his faith. And when he went to Egypt, he didn't trust God and he passed his wife, Sarai, off as his sister, which though technically was probably true, in that context, it was a lack of faith. And it got him ultimately into trouble, but God protected him in that. And maybe as we come to this crossroads, you are coming up out of Egypt. Perhaps there's been a famine in your life, hardship. Maybe that's practical hardship or physical hardship. But perhaps more significantly, maybe you're coming to this crossroads in a spiritual famine. The Lord hasn't felt close to you. You felt dry. You felt your spiritual life. You've been questioning. There's been doubts. It's not been alive. And Abraham came to this crossroads from a place of famine, but also a place of faithlessness. Of actually doubting God, of actually not trusting God. And it led him to the danger of sin. And some of us have fallen away. Some of us have fallen back. We've been faithless. We haven't followed Jesus. And we've fallen back into old habits and old lifestyle and old choices. Perhaps like Abraham, we've allowed the past to come back and affect us. And we've been faithless. And maybe we're coming out of Egypt, and this crossroads is we come out of Egypt. But know from this passage that God, through the famine and even Abraham's faithlessness, God was faithful and protected him and watched over him. And God is faithful to you. And that's why you're here hearing this, because God wants to say he's faithful, he's for you, he's loved you. Even if you've backslidden, as we use a phrase that we often use, we don't talk about now, but to recognize that we have fallen away. But more than that, we then go on to read verse 3. From the Negev, he went from place to place. He went from place to place. So he'd come out of a famine and his faithlessness, and he was wandering from place to place. He'd lost direction. He'd lost purpose. He didn't know where he should be or what he should do. And he was a wanderer, aimlessly, not quite sure where he should be or what he should be doing. He'd lost his purpose. He'd lost his understanding that God was with him and was directing and leading him. He was wandering. Are you wandering? Are you wandering aimlessly, not sure where you are spiritually, not sure where you are physically and in your life purpose and direction? Are you just wandering, trying different things, trying to work it out? Well, that's the crossroads that Abraham came. And in his wandering, in God's faithfulness, what do we read? He went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. In God's faithfulness, he was wandering from place to place, and suddenly in God's faithfulness, he came back to Bethel. Bethel. Do you have name places? Do you have memories? Do you have things that bring back God's goodness to you? Maybe there are things you look back to. Maybe your marriage. I have to get this right. Mine was the 11th of July, 1998. A name place at Woodley Baptist Church. Or maybe we remember those places and dates of the birth of our children. Or work. When we've changed work, as I've just done my 10 years, and thank you so much for your kindness of your words and your gifts to us after these 10 years. You look back to those special moments. But spiritually, are there places you look back? I look back to a place called the Royal Sailors Rest in 1977, where my mum read the Bible to me, and I asked her what was a Christian. And she told me, and I said, can I become a Christian? I look back to that day. Do you have memories when you came to faith? Or I think about 1987 when I stood in Herne Bay in a cornfield and I heard God call me to his service. Do you have those times where you remember? Or I think of June 1997, where Studland Beach, where Linda and I went to pray together to seek God whether it was right for us to marry. And we heard his voice together. I think of 2010. And I think sitting outside my car, outside my church as it was there, New Park Road Baptist Church, as I heard the call from Wallingford Baptist Church, I was praying, what did God want me to do? And I heard him speak. Because there are these places that God can sometimes bring us back to. And maybe this morning he wants to bring you back to a promise or a way he's spoken to you in the past. And he wants to remind you he is the faithful God and he will fulfill it. And we need to come back. But where Abraham came back to was Bethel. Now, Bethel is a fascinating place. Bethel was the place, we read, where he had first built an altar. Well, technically, that isn't correct. Because technically, we read in the previous chapter, chapter 12, he built one at the site of the great tree of Merah at Shechem. So why does the writer here only just later say, surely he's got that wrong? Well, what is significant here in Bethel is the first time, the first altar was when God spoke to Abraham. This is the first time that Abraham called on God, called on him. It's the slight change. Often it was a response to God. At Bethel was when he called on God and needed his help and his presence. It probably wasn't called, well, we know it wasn't called Bethel back for Abraham, because it's a very significant place, this place, because we know that Jacob named it in Genesis 28. This was the place where that was that stairway of heaven. And it was that stairway of heaven with angels and descending. And we read, and sometimes the translation is wrong, that God was down with Jacob on earth. Bethel, as it were, was the connection of heaven and earth and brings heaven to us. This was a significant place. And so of all the dates I've mentioned, perhaps the date that is most relating to this passage for me was the 28th of December 1985, a very cold day I remember, because I was going to be baptized in some very cold water. But that was the day, having heard God speak and call to me earlier, that was the day that I called out to God. I prayed to him through those waters of baptism that I was going to give my life fully to him. And here Abraham comes back to that place where he may called out to God and he looked and gave his life to the promises and fulfillment of God. It was the house of the Lord. Bethel means house of Lord, of the Lord. We often think about the Bethel churches, because ultimately sometimes call it, the church is called Bethel because it's the house of the Lord where God is. And we believe when we gather together, God is with us, the stairway to heaven. Even if we gather on the internet, it's that stairway to heaven. God can meet us. And so, as he came back, perhaps God is reminding you of your baptism, of where you called out to God through those waters of baptism, that you were dying to your old self and you were going to now live for God and his promises and his fulfillment of his promises in your life. And right now, this is a crossroads where you can choose whether to be reminded of that and live your life fully for Christ, or whether you can keep on wandering, or you can keep on wandering aimlessly. Or maybe you haven't been baptized. And maybe God is calling you. He's calling you to this crossroads. To say baptism is that place where we're reminded that we're washed. We're reminded by the water that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the springs of living water. But we're also reminded that as we die with Christ, we also raise up with his new life, following him, living for him. And maybe that's the crossroads you've come to. And this was the place where suddenly, coming back to Bethel, he turned from wandering to worship because he had called on the name of the Lord. And that's why coming to worship, coming to join, even on Zoom, learning your own instrument, coming to this place of worship is so important. Because we're not wandering aimlessly in a pandemic. We're not fearful. We're not worried about how it's all going to turn out. We're not trying to work it all out because we are a people of worship, not a people of wandering. We come and worship the one that we trust. We remember that he lives for us and in us and through us, and he has given us his eternal life, and we are confident even when everything around us is being shaken. We're not going to wander, we're going to worship. And that's why in a moment we're going to share communion together. Because like baptism is a sacrament, communion is a sacrament where we come together and recognize that Jesus is here. He is with us, the stairway to heaven. Jesus is among us. And as we remember him, we have hope, but we also have his presence with us. And we give ourselves afresh to serving him and following him and choosing that ancient path of faith, fellowship and following. And we're going to do that together. And that's why it's important to do it. It's not just a matter of eating bread and drinking wine and remembering what Jesus did for us. It's participating in it. It's experiencing his presence afresh. It's that stairway, that place where God meets us and stops us from wandering and calls us back to worship. That's why Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue in him. The Christian faith always brings us back to repentance and faith in Jesus. That's why our coming to faith is not just a one-off experience that we look back to. Jesus says, take up your cross daily. It's coming back time and time again, remembering our baptism and through communion and daily giving our lives to following Jesus, to being worshippers, not wanderers. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians says, when you gather, share this meal. Show your allegiance. Show who is with you and show that you are worshipping King Jesus, not wandering aimlessly through this world. We stand at a crossroads. The first crossroads is the crossroads. Are you just wandering aimlessly or are you worshipping through this pandemic? Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember that place where you gave yourself fully to Christ, to die to yourself and to live for him? Come back. Come back to that commitment and service and living for Christ. And as we take communion, let's recommit ourselves to him. God, in his faithfulness, has brought you back to hear this word, to be at this crossroads. Are you going to continually wander from place to place? Or are you going to worship and call on the name of the Lord? Remember Bethel. Remember your baptism. Remember God is faithful. That's the first crossroads he came to. The second crossroads, we then go on to read. Verse 5 of chapter 13. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together. For their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. This second crossroads that you may be facing at the moment, because when we worship, we find that it brings conflict and it brings temptation. That when we move from wandering to worship, it often brings conflict and temptation. And we see here that this is what I call the crossroads of striving or submission. Because when we get to that place of conflict or temptation, we can either strive in our own strength to solve it, to work it through, to want to get the best out that we can. Or we can trust God and submit to him. And this is the difference between Abraham and Lot. When they got to this place of conflict, what were they to do? They were needed to divide. And so we see here that Abraham came with the not striving anymore, but trusting and submitting to God. He offered Lot his choice. He offered Lot where he would want to go. And so we read in verse 10 that Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Lot was looking. He was looking at how he could get the best out of this situation. He was looking about how possessions and his blessing and self-preservation was more important than Abraham and his relationship with him. He was looking to strive to get the most out of this conflict situation. And often when we come to conflict or temptation, we strive. We look to get the best. We look at self-preservation. We look at self-promotion. We look to tread on other people that we may go forward. But Abraham had very different. Lot, can I put this, looked out of the eyes of selfishness. And we know that he was led to live near Sodom and Gomorrah. And out of that selfishness and self-preservation, as he gathered around that community, you all know what happened. He got drawn in closer and closer to the gods and idols and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was drawn into their culture. And that ultimately led to him, with God having to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and him being rescued and ultimately losing his wife. Because he was drawn, he had the eyes of selfishness and self-preservation. Is that how you look at your present conflict and temptation? Are you looking at the conflict and thinking, how can you get the most of it? How can you triumph? And forgetting about the people involved. Or are you looking at that selfishness? Oh, that looks good. I can get more. I can be better. I can press on. Lot looked out of that. But how did Abraham look? He looked as well. We read in verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted for him. The same word again. Look around from where you are to the north and south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then through your offspring could be counted. Abraham was encouraged not to look through the eyes of selfishness and self-preservation, but he was encouraged to look through the eyes of faith. Because as he stopped striving, as he submitted and surrendered to God, knowing that God was in control of his destiny, God was in control of his future, he could prioritize people. He could look to be generous. He could look to be submissive. And he could trust God. And through the eyes of faith, he could look and see that all of it was his anyway. God was going to give it him all anyway. So why did he have to strive and fight? Because it was all his. Because God had promised. And he looked through the eyes of faith. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, all things are yours. Stop boasting and being stressful and pushing yourself forward, because all things are yours anywhere in Christ. Matthew 6, Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is healthy, the body will. But if the eye is dark, the whole body will be full of darkness. We need to stop looking by selfishness and self-preservation. We need to start looking by faith. This is the crossroads we come to. I don't know whether you're facing conflict, a situation of conflict. I don't know whether you're facing temptation to draw away. But this is the crossroads you stand at this morning. And God is saying, stop striving. Don't look through the eyes of selfishness or self-preservation. Submit and look through the eyes of faith and know all things are yours. Explore at this time the love of God. Know that God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? You don't need to fight. The battle belongs to the Lord. All things work together for the good of those who love him. So stop striving and submit to God. And as you look over your present situation, stop complaining about what you've missed out on. Stop complaining about you having to give in. Stop thinking that you've missed out or your family's missed out because of this pandemic. Stop complaining and moaning. That's the eyes of selfishness and self-preservation. But look through the eyes of faith and God says, all this is yours. He promises love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. He is the God of hope, and he fills us with all joy and peace as we trust in him. God has given us so much. So let's stop striving and let's submit. No wonder Jesus says, wide is the way and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many people find it. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few people find it, because it's the way of looking by faith, looking at the cross, trusting Jesus, stopping striving, submitting to God, and by faith seeing that all things are ours together. Is that the crossroads you're at? And then finally, the third crossroads. The third crossroads we looked at, from wandering to worship. Are you a wanderer or worshiper? Are you striving or submitting? The third crossroads that Abraham came to was the crossroads, can I put it, of existing or exploring. Because when by faith he heard God's promises and saw God's promises, God said to him, go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham went. There he built an altar to the Lord. He didn't stay where he was. He came to this crossroads. This crossroads where he'd learned to worship, not wander. This crossroads where he'd learned to stop striving and submit and to see through the eyes of faith. And he came and he stopped learning to exist, but exploring all that God had for him. And he moved on. He started to enter into all that God had for him. It's so easy to think about our baptism and think that we are saved, that God is for us and that God is with us and we are loved and we are saved and we do not need to fear death. But we need to move on past that. And we need to explore all of God's promises, the height and the depth and the breadth of his love and his goodness for us. And we need to step out and explore what God has given us. Explore it in our family situation. Explore it in our work situation. Explore it in our church. Explore it in our community. Explore all that God has for us. And we do that by, can I put it this way, counting your blessings. As you think about your family and your work and your community and your church, this is what God has given us. Let's count the blessings. Let's rejoice. Let's give thanks. Let's stop looking over and comparing. Let's stop striving to make sure we're the best or we're seen different. Let's trust God and thank him for what he has given us. Count our blessings. Name them one by one and see how much the Lord has done for you. And secondly, claim your promise. Claim the promise in your situations you find, in your family, in your work, in your church, in your community, in our world. Let's claim the promise that all things are ours. Let's claim the promise of Ephesians 3, that we are here to find the length, the width, the length, the height, and the depth of Christ's love for us. That's what we're here for, in all our situations, to explore and discover how great the love of God is. And we need to just stop existing and we need to start exploring. And as I came to this sermon, did you notice I started from wandering to worship, then from striving to submission, and then existing to exploring? And as I thought about that, I just suddenly thought, hang on a minute. Wandering we started with, exploring we ended with. What's the difference between wandering and exploring? And the outward sign, probably not a lot. If we were looking in at someone who was just wandering from place to place and someone who was exploring place to place, outwardly, it probably doesn't look a lot different. But inwardly, it was completely different motivation, a different peace, a different hope, a different joy, a different purpose. That as Abraham now wandered from place to place, he wasn't wandering, he was exploring all of God's promises, all of God's purposes. He was trying to find God in everything and every place he went. He could trust God, he could see it was God's grace and God's gift to him, and he was going to enjoy it, and he was going to worship, and he was going to submit, and he was going to claim all that God had promised him, and he was going to receive it. Are you exploring in your Christian faith, or are you just existing? Did you just come to that point of accepting Jesus as your Lord? As you think about your baptism, have you moved on since then, or have you stopped there? Or have you begun exploring? Have you begun going deeper, exploring more of God's love? Have you been exploring his promises in your family life, in your work life, in your church life, in your community life? Have you stepped out and sought to bring God's love to your church, to your family, to your church, to your community, to our world? Do you have a love to go all these places with the love of God, seeing his promises, seeing your blessings, and seeking to bring the kingdom of God wherever you lay your feet? That's the difference between wandering aimlessly and exploring for God. Are you going to join this at this crossroads? Here we are at Bethel, the house of the Lord, the stairway to heaven. As we share communion in a minute, Jesus promises to be present. This is the stairway to heaven. Jesus will be with you as we break bread and drink this cup. How are you going to use it? You're going to use it to come back to worship him, to give your life fully to him. Are you going to trust him with the situation you find yourself, with your relationships, with your work, with the future, with the pandemic, with your health? You're going to see the eyes of faith. And are you going to stop existing and start exploring all that God has for you as you count your blessings, as you claim your promises? This is a crossroads. And as I look back on my dates where God spoke, God intervened, and I stopped existing and I started exploring and stepping out, can I suggest that for some of you, January the 17th on Zoom in your house is a date to mark, is a date to call on the name of the Lord. And as we, as it were, share communion as the place that we call out to God, do you hear his voice? Can you make the choice? Or are you just going to go back and wander, continue wandering aimlessly? Or are you going to come to this crossroads and make a decision and come to worship, submission, and exploration? That's what God has for you. That's the ancient path. It's not one of standing still. It's one of moving out, moving forward in worship, surrendering everything, and exploring all that God has for you, all his promises, as you count his blessings, as you give thanks for your family and its situation, as you give thanks for your work, as you give thanks for our community, as you give thanks for our world. But then start exploring all that God has for you. Don't stand still any longer. Don't stand at the crossroads. God's brought you to this crossroads not to stay here, but to move forward, because he alone can be your cornerstone. He alone is that what it is. It's about faith in him. It's about fellowship with Jesus. It's about being yoked with him, as we thought of from Jeremiah. It's about walking with him. Where he leads, you go. What he asks, you do. That's the fellowship. And that's what he calls you to come to afresh. Let's pray. And then we're going to sing together Cornerstone as we come back to committing ourselves to Jesus. And then we're going to share communion together as our response. But let me pray. Lord Jesus, we come to this crossroads, the crossroads that in your grace you have brought us to. We recognize there's been a famine spiritually in our lives. We recognize we've been faithless, but we want to declare that you are faithful and you have brought us to this crossroads. And so we have committed again at this crossroads to stop wandering and to worship as we give our lives fully to you. And for some who need to be baptized, Lord, may they hear that call to be baptized. And though it's not possible today, may they have the confidence that you still respond to that. And as soon as it is possible, you will bless them as they step out. For those of us who have been baptized, may we remember our baptismal declaration and may we live for you. Lord, for some of us are striving today, the word is just to submit and through the eyes of faith, trust you for all that you have for us. But for all of us, even in a pandemic, can we try to be those with your fellowship by being yoked with you, to not just be those who exist, but those who explore our families, our work, our community, our world, to bring your kingdom wherever we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship and commit ourselves again to trusting fully in Jesus, being yoked with him, as we sing together, as Rachel leads us in Cornerstone. God bless you.